May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Once upon a time, there were two prawns. One was named Simon, the other one's name was Christian. And they enjoyed swimming around in the bottom of the sea, as prawns do. But one day, they were playing, and a big codfish came by and saw that Simon was a little unhappy and said to Simon, "Simon, what's wrong?" And Simon says, "Well, you know, I'm just this little prawn. I really wish I was a big shark." So the codfish turned him into a shark. And Simon was happy swimming around as a shark. But he would go and try to play with his friends that were prawns, but none of them would play with him anymore because he was a shark and they were afraid to be eaten. So he got very sad. And he rested on the bottom of the ocean, sulking. And along came the cod again and said to Simon, "Simon, what's the matter?" And he said, "Well, you know, I'm a shark now, but it's not good because my prawn friends won't play with me." So the cod turned him back into a prawn. And so excited Simon was that he went right to his friend Christian's house. And he started banging on his door and he said, "Christian, Christian, it's Simon. Come on out and play." And Christian said, "No, Simon, you're a shark. I'll be eaten." And that's when Simon said, "It's okay. I saw cod. I'm a prawn again, Christian. I'm a prawn again, Christian." All right. You laugh, now laugh. So why do I tell these bad jokes? Well, you know why? Because it's really hard for you to hear the truth, unless I do. It's kind of a way in which we kind of rake the coals, enter into a hard discussion through some light laughter. But the reality behind that joke is no joke at all, and you and I know it. Each and every one of us want to be something that we're not, just like Simon wanted to be a shark. We spend our lives often in pursuit of something else, trying to be that thing. We want to be richer. We want to be more attractive. We want to be more popular. We want to be something else. It's vanity, most of it. In our pursuit to be something else, we often do things also to get there. You don't have to sell your soul at the crossroads. But there's other things that we do. We compromise. We walk on people. We hurt them to get what we want. That is the human condition. That is who we are. We are sinners. In the first lesson from Jeremiah, we have a situation on our hands. You see, the people of God have been sitting around. They've had a lot of time to think because there's this great drought. And they're afraid and they're thinking about their own mortality. And they're reflecting on their own actions and they realize and recognize that they've stepped over and stepped on some of the most vulnerable people in town. They've forsaken their neighbor. They've mocked God because their worship might have been liturgically correct, but their heart wasn't in it. It was all for show, flash in the pan. But they come to God and they say, "God, you know, we know that we are your people, and you won't forsake us because we are yours. We're your problem. You're stuck with us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." It takes us a lot to get to that spot, right? With God. But we've all been there. We've been there before, hit rock bottom, nowhere to go, nowhere to call, only one. God that understands us and searches the heart, the one that we can be completely ourselves in front of. Jesus tried to get to the heart of the matter too by telling this wonderful story about two different kinds of approaches. Now, notice from the passage, both the Pharisee, the one wearing the nice robes, the one that has a secure place in the institution, the Pharisee and the publican, the tax collector, the sinner, both of them go up to worship. They are going up to worship, not going down to worship. It says they go up to worship. Because when we go to worship, to encounter God, and to be in God's presence, we are going toward that mountaintop experience. Something incredible is about to happen. We are going to be in the front of the awesomeness of God. They knew that. Both of them knew that. But they both approach God's throne in two different ways. And brothers and sisters, you and I know that when we come to worship, right? We come here, we hear God's word, and when we're fed at the table, and then we're sent into the world, this is a holy place. The things that happen here are not like the things that happen everywhere else. We come up to worship. But the Pharisee comes up to worship, and he segregates himself from the rest of the general population, puts himself in the seat of honor, in the good spot, in the front, perhaps. And he starts his prayer. Thank you, God, that I'm not like this sinner. Thank you, God, that I'm not like them. And then he starts to blow his own horn and speak about how great he is. His self-righteous approach. That is a contradiction in itself. No one can be righteous on their own. Righteousness can only be imparted. Being right with God is only a gift. It's an oxymoron, you see. And he's trapped in that. He's stuck. Thinking that because he's better than someone else, that he has higher status with God. Totally misses it. Goes up to worship and dresses up to go there. When God wants us to dress down. God wants us bare, wants us naked. Not naked and afraid, but wants us naked and truthful. And that's what happens with the publican, right? He comes to worship God, this tax collector. In Jesus' day, tax collectors had a really bad rep. Why? Because they had a partner, right? Their partner was the state. The state was oppressive. Tax collectors could come to your house, raise taxes and levies, and they could demand you to pay them. They took a cut for themselves too, and they determined what that cut would be. They had a really bad reputation, and people were not fond of them. They were the lowest of low, those tax collectors. But this tax collector comes up to worship, and he also segregates himself. But he doesn't segregate himself the same way as the Pharisee. Doesn't sit in the seat of honor, put himself away to be away from those people. No, he does not feel as though he is worthy. So he comes before God. He's in the corner. He's in the back. He's under the table, under the pew. And he's saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You see the difference? Each and every one of us, we are sinners. Each and every one of us falls short of the glory of God. I don't care how many good things we have done, we have all broken hearts. We have all hurt people we love. And we've done it repeatedly. We are repeat offenders, and we know it. So we come here and we dress down. We take our broken hearts and we put them before the Lord, and we say, God, look, this is all we have, all broken hearts, and we've been heartbreakers too. Only you can mend that. Only you can glue that. Only you can fix that, and we need your help. And you know what happens? We never end up being alone when we do that. Because right by our side, right with us, is Christ. Jesus is with us in those moments of pure honesty when we undress ourselves and are completely vulnerable before God and we admit who we are and whose we are. And then God heals us and says, it's okay, I love you. I know, I understand. And builds us up yet again so we can do amazing things. And one of the things that we can do is we can sit and stand in solidarity with others, with the least, the last, and the lost, just like Jesus did. So we can be there with people that are hungry, that the world would like to forget and step on. So we could help Ladles of Hope, or the New Life Center, or Helping Hands. We have the privilege of being healed people so we can do the work of God. And we can be there with people that are suffering terrible diseases and afflictions that no one has heard of. And we could say, hey, look, you need to pay attention to this. Whether it's Batten's disease or prune belly. We need to raise this plight before everyone so that people can know we care. Because God cares. That's why we're healed, so we can say these things. So we can be with all of those young people who are so sick today that are using heroin and opioids. And as we gather in this space, they're in their room or in their closet or in their basement or in their car with a needle in their arm. And they're dying. On Long Island, more than one a day, one and a half, children of God die of that terrible affliction. And we can do something about it. We can stand in solidarity, break the silence, and be there with families and stop the stigma. Because God heals us to do that. We can be with our wounded warriors. Or we can stand in solidarity with our firefighters who are there with them. For those that are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, the wounds that are invisible to most, but wounds that claim the lives of between 20 and 22 veterans every single day in this country that are committing suicide because of those individual wounds. That's why we are healed by God. We come honest and God builds us up so we can be there and we can say that you matter and we're with you just like Christ is with us. We can be there with all the rest of the charities that we support. We can be there with the victims of domestic violence who hide and who are made to feel ashamed, who are constantly being told to be quiet and forget it. We can be there with Mary and the other people who serve as advocates and say we care. Because that's what God heals us to do. So do you see? Do you feel it? Do you understand how powerful this gift of forgiveness is and how important it is for us to be honest and dress ourselves down before God so God can build us up again so we can be used in ways which are just breathtaking? We do not deserve the grace and mercy that we receive. It is pure gift, brothers and sisters. It is pure gift. But allow God to transform you and continue to inspire us as a collective congregation of people who are sinners and at the same time who are made righteous in God's eyes by God's action. A God who frees us to do good work. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the congregation to please stand and join me as we sing our hymn of affirmation. Love divine, all loves excel. Number 631 in the red hymnal.